Malaria has been around for a long time, and it's deadly and it's frightening because obviously it's so easy to get something like this with a little tiny mosquito in so many places that have so little access. And, you know, as we're looking here for the miracle vaccine for COVID, there are things that are out there that are deadly as well that we've been looking for years that we haven't been able to capture. And that would include malaria. But it sounds like your research has uncovered some significant findings. What exactly is this all about?
You're right. We've been looking to generate an effective malaria vaccine for decades, and the approach to this has been largely the same as for many other vaccines, where we identify a key target on the infectious agent, in our case, the malaria parasite, and then we work to make a vaccine that induces your body to make a lot of protective proteins called antibodies. Now, this approach is generally good for a lot of vaccines and against many diseases, but in malaria, we found that even though we can develop vaccines that do cause your body to make antibodies against the malaria parasite, they're unable to provide prolonged protection. And we really wanted to address why this was the case. Why can't we have adequate protection against getting infected, even though we have protective antibodies present, which are induced by our current vaccines?
So what was the outcome? What did you discover?
So what's quite interesting about malaria is that you need a really high amount of antibodies present to provide complete protection. So this may be because it's a complex pathogen. So at different stages of the malaria infection, it expresses different proteins. So it's really important if you want to catch and prevent the disease from progressing that you basically knock it out in one stage, which your immune system is primed to target. Because there's such a high requirement, or you need a lot of antibodies present, what we found is that this amount of antibody is actually unsustainable to be continually maintained within your body. Your body naturally maintains the antibody level at a much lower level. And what we found is this discrepancy between what we need for protection and what is actually normally maintained in the body is part of this negative feedback mechanism, which is basically your body's way of preventing it from needlessly making more antibody when it doesn't need to. And in most cases, in most diseases, this doesn't seem to be an issue. That's why we have vaccines for lots of other infections that don't seem to have this problem occurring. But because we need such high titers for malaria, this poses a problem. And what our research shows is that one way to overcome this may be designing vaccines that work on generating antibodies against multiple targets on the parasite rather than just one particular protein. And this is largely because when we talk about antibodies, they're highly specific. So if you have one antibody against protein A on the parasite, that means it will only bind to protein A, even if there's protein A, B, C, D on the parasite. So what we're saying is instead of having enormous amounts of antibodies against just protein A, which we can't sustain at such high levels, maybe have a reduced amount of antibodies against protein A, B, and D, and then together they can work synergistically to provide protection.
Fascinating. So where does it go from here as far as the work to actually find a vaccine to prevent malaria?
Yeah, so that's a good question. Obviously, this is showing that our current strategy of developing a vaccine is not going to work in this particular situation. It's starting to be realized as well, because people in the past have tried to really push getting the antibodies up to that high protective level by administering more booster vaccines, and that doesn't work because of this feedback mechanism. So I don't think we need to go right back to the drawing board. I think what we can do is we can build on some basic research which has been looking at identifying other proteins on the parasite that may be targets. And if we can somehow incorporate them to our current vaccine strategies, that might be a way forward. Again, how to improve the current strategies. Potentially, we may need to start considering doing like a sequential vaccine. So rather than one vaccine, which is the same, and then maybe a booster, which is identical in structure, maybe we vaccinate sequentially where you have like your first vaccine is against one particular protein, your second is against a different protein on the parasite. So it's a sequential vaccination regime. That could potentially be another way to work around this. But again, this is just early days now, but we're really excited about how this has given us a key insight to why we keep having this problem with our vaccines for malaria.
Do you think this ultimately, this could be the game changer that scientists have been looking for with malaria and potentially other diseases that have eluded being able to find vaccines for, like HIV/AIDS?
I think it's definitely going to highlight consideration that we have to have with vaccine design, especially for these complex diseases that we have been having difficulty to generate effective vaccines for. Yes, absolutely. This particular phenomenon in immunology, it's actually been known, this whole antibody feedback, for ages, but people actually haven't looked at it in terms of vaccine responses and the immune response to vaccines. And I think what we're showing is that when we have these diseases where we know you need a lot of antibody present to provide protection, this now has to be considered. And when you start to design what these vaccines are looking like, maybe you have to start really thinking about if this could be a potential problem down the line.